computer is a computer, even if it sounds like a human. That's what the FCC says about deepfake AI robocalls, similar to those made before the New Hampshire primary that got Lingo Telecom into some very deep water. Chair Rosenworcel warns Congress that affordable connectivity may not remain that way without more funding. Audio is burning the midnight oil and granting LPFM applications, while the Windows biggest filer calls dozens of redundant proposals. All of that and more coming up.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, February 8, 2024. The FCC has sent a cease and desist letter to Lingo Telecom alleging that the company is originating illegal robocall traffic. According to the letter, on January 21, 2 days before the New Hampshire presidential primary election, individuals began receiving calls that played in an apparently deepfake pre-recorded message from a voice that was artificially created to sound like President Joe Biden. In addition, it was alleged that the caller ID was allegedly spoofed to appear to belong to the spouse of the former New Hampshire Democratic Party chair, who is running a super PAC to encourage New Hampshire voters to write in President Biden's name in the state's primary election. The FCC cites Webster's Dictionary in defining deepfake as an image or recording that has been convincingly altered and manipulated to represent someone as doing or saying something that they did not actually do or say. During the investigation, Lingo did identify the calls were originating from an entity called Life Corp. Lingo did not contest the illegality of the calls and purported to warn Life of the illegal calls. Life and Lingo have been involved in previous robocall investigations, including incidents where they were using their previous corporate name, Matrix Telecom. The FCC warns that this type of activity could lead to the FCC permitting, and in some cases requiring, other carriers to block all traffic coming from Lingo. In a separate public notice directed at all U.S.-based carriers, the FCC warns that if Lingo fails to mitigate illegal traffic within 48 hours, carriers may block voice calls or accept traffic from Lingo without liability under the Communications Act. In related news, the FCC has unanimously adopted a declaratory ruling stating that the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, or TCPA, does also apply to calls that are made with artificial intelligence that generate human voices. The TCPA already prohibits initiating any telephone call to any residential telephone line using an artificial or pre-recorded voice to deliver a message without the express consent of the called party, with exceptions for situations where calls are not being made for commercial purposes or for emergency purposes such as reverse 911. While the commission understands that not all AI-generated calls may be deceptive or annoy customers, the TCPA still demands that consumers should be able to choose whether they wish to receive them. This action today is consistent with the will of Congress, who concluded with the adoption of the TCPA that residential telephone subscribers consider automated or pre-recorded telephone calls, regardless of the content or the initiator of the message, to be a nuisance and an invasion of privacy. In January, letters to the chairs and ranking members of various House and Senate subcommittees, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel provides a status on the Affordable Connectivity Program. The ACP includes a $14.2 billion appropriation, making it the largest broadband affordability program in our nation's history, helping nearly 23 million households nationwide. According to Rosenworcel, with the remaining funding, it is very unlikely that the ACP will be able to fund consumers beyond April of this year. The Biden administration has requested an additional $6 billion to extend the ACP, which, alongside program changes, would extend the program through the end of calendar year 2024. Rosenworcel warns that if Congress does not provide any additional funding for the ACP in the near future, millions of households will lose the ACP benefit that they use to afford Ford Internet service. This will also affect 1,700 Internet service providers that will be affected by the termination of the ACP, and they may have to cut off service to households that would no longer be supported by the program. In the event of a depletion in funding, the FCC has already taken steps to wind down the ACP program through consumer notifications and the announcement of a date of when no new enrollments can be taken. Quoting Chair Rosenworcel, the ACP is in jeopardy and, absent additional funding, we could lose the significant progress this program has made towards closing the digital divide. Yet, we have come too far with the ACP to turn back. Accordingly, the Commission stands ready to assist Congress with any efforts to fully fund the ACP in the future. The Media Bureau hands down a $720,000 dinger against Nexstar Media, finding that Nexstar breached its duty to negotiate retransmission consent in good faith with Hawaiian Telecom. The Bureau takes notice of proposed terms called mutual release provisions that would have prevented the telecom from bringing future complaints to the Commission. Nexstar defends the practice, claiming that such terms are not unlawful because they would have applied to either party, not just Hawaiian Telecom, and that the provision would have not prevented Hawaiian from filing any future complaint against Nexstar, but rather complaints stemming from the specific negotiation leading to a renewal agreement. This issue stems around retransmission consent. This is the amount of money that cable and satellite providers must pay to broadcast stations who elect retransmission consent for the rights to carry their programming. If negotiations break down between the parties, the result is a blackout of the affected local channels on cable and satellite services. The fees for retransmission consent are normally passed on to consumers through a broadcast fee line item on consumer bills. Consumers in many areas can avoid these fees by simply not subscribing to cable or satellite and using an over-the-air antenna to receive local broadcast stations. The NAL involves six different Nexstar-owned stations located in Hawaii with a proposed forfeiture of $120,000 each for a total of $720,000. As usual, Nexstar has 30 days to fight the NAL. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, Region 1 Field Enforcement has issued a notice of illegal pirate radio broadcasting to Nerva and Edith Jean-Philippe of Aletha Street in Providence, Rhode Island. The letter states that an agent from the Boston field office confirmed through direction finding that radio signals on 97.1 were emanating from the Althea Street property. The Jean-Philippes have been identified through public records as owners of the property. They have been warned that under the Pirate Act, the FCC can issue a fine of up to over $2.3 million if the FCC determines that pirate broadcasting is allowed to continue from the property that they own or manage. They have 10 days to respond to the notice to provide evidence that they are no longer permitting pirate radio broadcasting from their property. In filing window news, the Media Bureau has reached a decision in Non-Commercial Educational MX Group Number 74. In this MX group, two applicants, Vanguard Association of Sunbelt Colleges Corporation and Augustana College, had both applied for 88.9 in Dubuque and Epworth, Iowa, respectively. Augustana accuses Vanguard of being an application mill for another NCE applicant, Elijah Radio, and states that Vanguard was created for the purpose of circumventing the 10 application limit on window applications. They also question whether Vanguard has the financial ability to build all of their stations. Augustana, as well as Iowa Public Radio, licensee of KNSY Dubuque, also argue that Vanguard does not have adequate site assurance because, as Iowa put it, it would result in an antenna being mounted on the aperture of the KNSY antenna and violate good engineering practice And in addition, it would cause a ninth order intermodulation property interference to a commercial station on 92.9. In April 2023, the FCC sent a letter of inquiry to Vanguard to address the accusations. The FCC would find that Vanguard had sufficient financial backing to construct the facilities. There was no de facto control by Elijah Radio or Adventist World Radio, and that there were no site assurance issues based on the discussions that Vanguard had with Crown Castle. The Bureau has granted the Vanguard application and dismissed Augustana. Currently, in the 2021 NCE filing window, there are still 8 groups of mutually exclusive applications that are still under contention. We are expecting another decision, this time from the full commission, on at least one other MX group sometime between now and next Thursday. On the 2023 LPFM filing window, the audio division staff has been burning the midnight oil with at least 2 late-night granting sessions. Oh, the joy of teleworking. As of this recording, the division has already granted 150 applications with another 559 on public notice as accepted for filing. While the grants may seem to be coming at a slow pace, it is important to remember that the same staff that's handling the LPFM applications are also handling all other radio service issues. REC asks applicants to be patient. Once an LPFM application is granted, the applicant can immediately obtain an available call sign through a request in LMS. Mass filer Weather Alert Radio Network, who filed 213 applications in the window attempting to use the public safety loophole, is starting to cull out some of their applications. Specifically, they are withdrawing applications for communities for which they had filed on multiple frequencies, thus leaving one application per community. In some cases, the withdrawn applications are those that are in groups with mutually exclusive applications. And once the FCC officially dismisses the withdrawn applications, it'll create singletons in at least 3 MX groups, meaning that those other applicants may get their grants a lot sooner than they originally expected. The public safety loophole was originally requested in 2000 by the New York State Thruway Authority, who envisioned the use of LPFM to replace travelers' information stations on AM radio. The rule permits any public or private sector entity to propose as many LPFM stations that they need, as long as those stations will serve the areas within the entity's legal jurisdiction and that they will be used for public safety purposes. The WARN applications are very questionable because they do not provide any specific contract or compact with a competent state or county authority to show that WARN provides any kind of public safety related service under such a contract. Appropriate use of private sector public safety LPFM includes volunteer fire departments and infrastructure providers such as nonprofit rural electric cooperatives. As of this recording, the audio division has dismissed 94 LPFM applications, but that number is expected to skyrocket once staff starts processing the WARN withdrawal requests. MB Docket 24-14, the proposed rulemaking that would prioritize the review of certain applications filed by broadcast stations that provide local journalism or other local programming, has been published in the Federal Register. The Media Bureau has announced that the comment deadline will be March 11, with reply comments due on April 8, 2024, just a few days before the start of the NAB show in Las Vegas. The FCC will hold its February open meeting next Thursday, the 15th, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Issues on the agenda will include multilingual EAS, robocalls, wireless microphones, and space junk. The meeting will be streamed live at fcc.gov/live.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean and other popular podcast providers. Please subscribe to the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel to stay informed. For up-to-the-minute applications and actions at the Media Bureau, visit our official website, fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com for assistance with LPFM, full service FM, and FM translators. Please contact REC at 202-621-2355. Until next time, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good day from Riverton. REC.